You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It's Thursday, August 31st, last day of August 2017. I want to thank you for joining me. Are you ready for what's coming? That's the question. Are you prepared? Are you ready for what's coming? Do you know what's coming? Big question I have for you. Everywhere a battlefield. Everywhere a battlefield. That's the slogan. Well, that's the poster slogan of this anti-fascist. And I'm going to stop calling them anti-fascist groups. These are communist groups. It's Austin-based Red Guards. Red Guards Austin, to be precise. They are gaining some prominence in the Texas Antifa movement. Now, this group is reportedly an autonomous Marxist-Leninist-Maoist collective. Their website contains many, many reports on their confrontational and armed demonstrations. They're a component, if you will, of the Antifa movement. A picture on their website, cast aside illusions. Revolution until communism. And in this image, there is a picture, not a portrait, but a landscape image, with about 20 young, I'm going to say young people, and they would be white males. Most appear to be white males. Many are covered with masks, with a red handkerchief that has the hammer and sickle logo on it. I'm going to put this up on HomelandSecurityUS.com. This I will do immediately following this broadcast, or during. I'll have somebody try to do it during this broadcast. But this group is openly advocating for violent revolution against capitalism. This is what. We're seeing this happen now more and more and more and more. And I started to get into this last night on the Hagmann Report. Just didn't have time. If you go back and you look at some of the shows that Glenn Beck did, and you have to give him credit for what he did when he was at Fox, but he got a lot of blowback. In fact, he spoke of, in one instance, Glenn Beck spoke of, the executive producers for the program itself, which is within Fox, got a call from Representative George Soros and requested a meeting, and they had a meeting in a public place, and this executive representing Soros said, hey, can you ask Glenn to basically get off George Soros' back? It's bad for my business. It's bad for business. Okay. Well, apparently that did not happen. I don't know what did happen with that whole process. I don't know, and I don't really care to know at this point. But something indeed did happen where the roads, someone took a left turn somewhere. But having said that, the focus suddenly changed. At least in my personal opinion. Now, you might think he's the greatest guy in the world, Glenn Beck, and that's fine. I don't know him. I don't know. I've had some minimal correspondence with him in the past, but I don't know. But at this point, it's not like it was back. His programming is not like it was back in 2012, 2013, 2011, and even previous to that. And I want to tell you something. If you ever see... You won't see this program ever change. Ever. Ever. Because I personally have... I'm all in. And I'm telling you that not to express some level of bravado here. I'm literally all in. We have agreed here at the Hagman Report, and then our two other shows, and with our website and such. No, we are in for good and into completely exposing these groups. But Glenn Beck had talked about, the point was, Glenn Beck talked about exposed George Soros for what he was. But what we're seeing take place here is exactly what George Soros was talking about in the beginning. Well, you can go back to George Bush, the George Bush presidency, George W. Bush. Now, prior to that, Soros was busy in the early 90s. He declared war on the pound sterling, and of course, that's where he made his huge money. And then, of course, self-proclaimed regime changer himself, changing countries all across the globe. But all that said, he began in earnest in 2000. Really, in 2003, George Soros began in earnest to attack the United States. And part and parcel to that, and I mentioned yesterday, and in fact, the title of yesterday's show, Top Down, Bottom Up, Inside Out, or a reference thereof, was made by Van Jones, and that's the tactics, the methodology. But here's the thing. In George Soros's book, yes, he's written a number of books, in his own words, George Soros has written, the main obstacle to a stable and just world order is the United States. Now, that statement says it all. I don't think that needs clarification. I don't think it's ambiguous. I think it's flat out, there it is. All right. And if you, and you can find these various interviews with George Soros, with people like Steve Croft. They're very close to genocide, almost advocating genocide, in addition to this regime change. And of course, Soros has got a messiah complex. But back to what I was referring to, the group that's now, or that's calling itself the Red Guards Austin, which is gaining traction in Texas and in and around Austin, and really groups like this all across the United States are springing up. If you remember the late 60s, early 70s, and if you're not old enough to, that's fine. In fact, I wish I wasn't that old, but you've seen this before. But not to this extent of organization, because don't forget, back in the 60s, no cell phones, at least not to the common man, no social networking, no internet for this type of, to facilitate this type of organization. But when you look at these groups, especially the Austin-based Red Guard Austin, and I refuse to call them anti-fascists. I'm not going to do that anymore, and I don't think any of us should. We should just call them RevCom groups or Revolutionary Communist groups, because that's exactly what they are. You'll notice that they're carrying the flag of the hammer and sickle. They're carrying semi-automatic weapons along with handguns and, of course, the clenched fist for the revolution. So some of the statements within this particular group, this website, we must seriously take up the task, not only of self-defense on the personal and community level, but we must also struggle to unite all genuine anti-fascists behind the necessity of revolution. And just for clarity, I'm going to substitute the word communist for anti-fascist, both in the singular and the plural. Just for clarity, when you hear the word communist, that's me substituting it for anti-fascist. Except here, where it says revolution means the long fight for communism and nothing less. Now, there is this entry on this website titled Everywhere a Battlefield. And they say, the war is not coming. It is here and now. And then a discussion about the needs for weapon training and more under the revolutionary violence. Now, Red Guards Austin, they also have ostensibly a Twitter page or a Twitter account. You know, it looks like it's authentic. It's them. But you never know in some cases, unless it's verified. But I do believe it's them based on everything I've seen, based on my research. Red Guards Austin, one Twitter entry. So what does self-defense mean for the rest of us? What does it mean for enemies of the state? It can only mean that we must develop red physical culture. It means that we must contend for ground that has been ceded to the enemy. Now, that's you and I. Just to be clear, that's you and I, whoever's listening to this broadcast. That we train in both hand-to-hand combat and in weapons. We must take community self-defense seriously. We must walk away from the comfort zone of the legal left, and by extension, it means that those who protect them are sure to attack us. Everywhere a battlefield. That's the Twitter entry, actually, from August 27th, 4 days ago. Reclaiming violence, they continue, means making revolutionary violence available to be utilized by all types of comrades at all levels and all abilities. It means training physically in flexible ways applied to the specific conditions of specific groups. Everyone, regardless of ability, can improve. Well, that's true. This is not to do away all at once with the division of violent labor. The science of revolutionary violence is universal, and it must at the same time be applied with great care to the specific. In this process of trial and error, we sharpen and broaden our skill sets. Martial arts, firearms, and sports must be seen as cultural battlefields, as well as invaluable tools in our revolutionary toolkit. So, okay, that's clear enough. For months, militia Antifa groups have been engaging in targeted political violence. They claim they exist to fight racists, bigots, and white supremacists. And their allies in the media often echo these claims, but if the actions from the Red Guards Austin is any indication, this is nothing more than a public relations campaign to recruit moderates. Now, that this from the far left watch, their end goal is communism, a political ideology responsible for over 94 million deaths in the 20th century. That's true. You know, people are not taking this as seriously as they need to. I'm telling you right now, when you look at the initiative of Obama, when you look at the combination that was the Soros puppet master, Obama, the one of the puppets, and the main obstacle, of course, the United States to a one-world government. People are not thinking big enough. The objective here is a single global system of governance by any means necessary. The group and, of course, the phrase. The structure by which this will be built and has been built in the United States was through the globalist presidents we've had via the federal appointments. And I think people are missing the point here. When you are in the executive branch, for example, you make appointments to federal judgeships, and then of course it's approved. They receive congressional approval for the appointments. What are we seeing today? Many laugh or look at the Ninth Circuit Court and say, well, what a mess that is. Well, that's by design. Of course, that's by design. But this, they want this all across the United States. So the executive branch in the form of Barack Hussein Obama or in the person of Obama just filled the courts, filled the various departments with communists, with Muslim communists, with the red-green operatives. This is what we're seeing today. And these are the very same people who are still there under Donald Trump. They're still there. And we're seeing appointments to replace the Obama holdovers being held up by Congress. This has got to change right now because the destruction of Donald Trump is coming from within. And I had mentioned yesterday that there are five specific. Well, there's a five-part formula from George Soros. And this is from his own writings to take over the United States. Number one is to form a shadow government. Number two, control the media. Control the airwaves. Number three, destabilize the state. Four, evoke or provoke an election crisis. To delegitimize the election process and then, of course, take power. What have we seen over the last several months? Doesn't that summarize everything we've seen over the last several months? Obama out. Hillary was going to be in. Bang, she didn't get in. Obama forming, or at least the shadow government's always has been there since 1947, 1948. But the Obama's role in the shadow government, the visible role as he sits in Washington on Embassy Row, that's different than anything we've seen before. And of course, the Organizing for America, the fourth or so iteration of Organizing for Action, that is, the fourth roughly iteration of his own political interest, his own pack. We're looking at this in progress right now. Form a shadow government, control the media, and they're doing this, control the media, and I'm making this connection one more time. I can't do it enough. You heard me talk about the 93% to 52%. Those numbers refer to the negative coverage about Donald Trump, about our president, and even about our election process on the mainstream media from January until April of this year. Now, those are old stats, but they're still relevant today. The coverage, 93% negative. That's NBC, CNN, to 52% negative, and that's at the bottom there. Or in the, shall I say, in the middle is Fox News with the balanced coverage. Now, when you look at Fox News, that 52% is not all Shepard Smith, okay? It's not all Geraldo. No. It ranges in and of itself from 90-some percent to maybe 10%, depending on the personality of negative and positive coverage. So it's within that framework itself, there's a difference. So looking at this, you've got Sean Hannity being up front, along with Judge Jeanine and others. But the mainstay, of course, is Sean Hannity, and that's why I've been making a big deal. And that's why Peter Chalka is making a big deal about the takedown of Sean Hannity. We must not let this happen. However, you've got the two Murdoch sons, the sons of Rupert Murdoch, now running the show here at Fox News and changing, intending to change the complexion of Fox News. The question is, will Sean Hannity survive this change? And you might say, well, what does it matter? It's mainstream corporate media. It's bogus anyway. Well, it matters because when you take away that 52%, now you've dominating the entirety of the airwaves. But on the other hand, let's take out the corporate media completely right now. Just to remove it right now. What do you have? You've got the internet. You've got the alternative media. You've got talk radio. Now, I don't really want to continue beating this drum, but talk radio, the programs like ours, that they meaning the infrastructure within the federal government, as well as private corporations such as YouTube and others, they're coming for us. They're censoring us. When I say coming for us, they're attempting to take us down. At first, they are attempting to, and doing a good job of this, censoring us. They are munging our numbers, obviously, preventing subscriptions, or they're playing with the subscription numbers. I cannot tell you, and I wish I knew how to do this, but to watch in real time subscription blocks of subscribers being taken, removed from the numbers by the 50s. At one point, by the block of 100 was removed, and you take that two or three times a day, and you have several hundred per day. It's an amazing thing to watch. But the censorship is not enough. They just don't want to put us in a corner and create this echo chamber. They want to take us out of they want us to shut up. That's it. And you know what? If we don't shut up, they're going to shut us up. They're going to take away that platform. And we need to be prepared as an alternative media outlet. We need to be prepared for that. And I have instructed everyone here to prepare for the day when YouTube will not be an outlet and we must go a different route. And you will be apprised. We will have time. I do believe we will have time for that. Now, I could be wrong, but I think we will have time for... We may not have a warning when it happens, but I think we'll have time to convey where to go, where to listen, where to get the information. And if we have to go old school, we will. If I've got to go across the country, I will. But so I'll do whatever it takes. But nonetheless, this is what people are not taking seriously. Remember the old fairness doctrine? Remember that? That discussion about the old fairness doctrine in the 80s, and then of course the fairness doctrine was lifted, and then that's when Rush Limbaugh became very prominent. I mean, you kind of know your history on this. And then with Obama, there's talk about reinstating the fairness doctrine. Well, that's nothing more than a cover for censorship in terms of speech like this. So, but anyway, we have to be prepared for that day. And we are preparing for that day. And you'll know not only when that day comes, you'll know how we are going to handle this. But understand, we've got this group here is just one of several groups. And it's just not Austin. It's in Philadelphia. It's in San Francisco. It's in Portland, Seattle. There's Chicago. There's even in the South, Miami, Atlanta. Pittsburgh. Pennsylvania. There are these communist groups. These are weeds in the lawn of America. That's what they are. But unlike the normal weed, this is like crabgrass because of its root hold in the sod of American culture. It's cool to be a communist now. I remember back late 60s, everyone was walking around with a little red book, Chairman Mao's little red book. You remember that? It was cool to have one. I don't know, it only cost like a dollar back then or something. It was just weird. It was kind of it was cool to have one. But this is different from back then. Edward Bernays, I want to mention this because this so well speaks to what I'm talking about here. Edward Bernays talked about the shadow government, and that's what we're seeing here. Here's a quote from Edward Bernays. The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in a democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. Did you get that? Of course you did. That's the shadow government. That is the shadow government. And by the way, it includes both the left and the right in this shadow government. This transcends political parties. And this really took off. And this is one thing after research I learned. This really, the funding of the shadow government, or the funding, shall I say, of these groups to some extent, but an important extent, really took off in 2002. George Soros prompted the McCain-Feingold Act. And that resulted in an explosion of 501c3 entities. But questioning our election process is important to George Soros. You note, even today, you've got these thugs, as well as these mental midgets wearing Not My President shirts. Stephanie Miller, for crying out loud, the way left of center brunette talk show host that you can, it's on DirecTV. Not My President shirt. But anyway, questioning our elections, it's critical, it's vital to George Soros and the globalists. When I say Soros, I mean all of the globalists. And I'm not limiting to Soros, but it was the McCain-Feingold Act that was really prodded by George Soros. Really, it's the Campaign Reform Act of 2002. The Senate version didn't pass. The House version passed. And, of course, it was implemented on March 27th of 2002. H.R. 2356, Chris Shays is the author of that. H.R. 2356, Chris Shays, the Campaign Reform Act of 2002, passed on March 27, 2002. That resulted, of course, in this explosion of 501c3 corporations that are funding these various political initiatives, including and especially the RevCom groups. This is just so you know how this came about. And again, this is not just a Republican a Democratic or progressive initiative. This is a globalist initiative. And these people, and I've seen this across the board, whether it is on Free Republic, where I'm banned as an author. Why? I don't know. I don't have a clue. To the sewers-like Democratic Underground and everything in between. You've got the political pollers of Free Republic and Democratic Underground. And there are extremes beyond those. But if you look at the left with the Democrat side and the right with the Republican side, you can see they're polar opposites, but the one thing that they do have one thing in common, and that's there are units, entities, individuals, initiatives that include both sides of the political spectrum, of course. And this is addressed in None Dare, I'll Call It Conspiracy by Clarence Skousen. If you haven't read that book in a while, I suggest rereading that book, picking it up again, rereading it, as well as Atlas Shrugged, as well as anything, I was going to say even Tragedy and Hope, but that's a huge read. But you get the idea. But I see this happening across these platforms where there is this outright dismissal of these groups. they're not going to do anything. They're nitwits. They're they could never last in a gunfight. Well, I'm sure that's the case. I'm not sure that's the case. I guess, yeah, you're probably correct. But the question is, number one, why are they being allowed to exist in cyberspace when, in fact, the Christian conservative right is not, and we're being censored, yet these groups like this are allowed to have free reign and, in fact, encouraged across the social platforms. Number two, they're declaring war on all of us. You're telling me that because they appear not to be capable of implementing our destruction, that we should not pay attention to them, we should laugh at them? That's dismissing the threat too readily and too easily. Just so you know, we are infiltrating these groups through investigative assets. But I will tell you, and I get this a lot too. Pictures or it didn't happen. Okay. Well, let me explain the real world to you, Sonny. An investigative operative is not going to risk their lives to appease you taking pictures of a group. Or the operational security is not going to be jeopardized to appease you saying pictures or it didn't happen, pictures or it's false. Little lady or little man, that's not going to happen. Just to be clear. So if you're of that ilk, you need not listen. But I'm sounding the alarm bells right now. Everywhere I can. You're about ready to see shooting in the streets. And if you think this is fear porn, if you think that this is just gratuitous talk, well, that you've got your right to your opinion, but I'm telling you right now, we are already engaged in a cold civil war. When the bullets start flying, it's going to be too late to start warning you. And I'm not going to come out here and say, I told you so. But you've got to take this seriously. If you're not prepared, prepare. If you don't own a weapon, you might consider it. And learn how to use it properly. Consult someone that's... Take a course on how to... On gun safety first. In some places, it's required. And also, consider a concealed weapons permit as well. But make sure... Look, protect yourself. Make sure you're able to protect yourself and your family. I'm serious. Do not dismiss this as hyperbole. So I'm just trying to sound the alarm here. If you want to dismiss it as hyperbole, that's your right. But I really want to let you know what we are finding, what we're seeing, that the landscape is changing right now. Let me take you back to 2012, an article by Cliff Kincaid, Communist Defector, speaks out on America's Marxist Future, just very quickly, because this kind of supports, even back in 2012, I was saying, I was warning people about this, but a top Communist Defector is warning of an unprecedented alliance between the Democratic Party and the Communist Party, reflected in CPUSA endorsements of Obama for president in 2008, and the party's continued support for Democratic Party policies. Now, looking back 5 years later, it's 5 years and 3 months later, or 2 months later, what do we see? He's right. The references made to Lieutenant General Pasipa, the highest ranking official ever to have defected from the Soviet Union, there's no doubt that the Democratic and the Communist parties have secretly joined forces. And Van Jones, of course, spoke of it, part of a far-left fringe of declared communists, when he became the White House jobs czar. Remember yesterday I played top-down, bottom-up, inside-out? Well, anyway, that's Van Jones. Now, Obama, part of his team, Valerie Jarrett, of course, disclosed at a left-wing bloggers convention. This is back in 2012 that, quote, we, and this is an apparent reference to herself and Obama, had hired Jones for the job. However, he was fired when an outcry developed over his communist background, and the media quickly dropped any probes into Jones' White House contacts. So, but Pasipa served as a top aide in the Romanian communist regime. And he's sounding the alarm back then in 2012, where the Democratic Party has become dangerously affected with the Marxism virus. And he stated that he recognizes the symptoms because he lived through them. And he's personally convinced that Obama was a Marxist, is a Marxist. That's back in 2012. And, of course, he wrote a book in 1987, Red Horizons, which was about the Romanian regime, the communist influence operations directed at the United States and other Western nations. And the contents, by the way, of his book were broadcast into on radio for Europe and were credited with inspiring the counter-revolution in Romania. Now, his articles appeared in Wall Street Journal and numerous other publications. And so this guy's no lightweight. And, of course, he's calling out back in 2012 this communist, the Democratic Communist Alliance. This is now, the Communist Democrat Alliance is now fully matured. At least, shall we say, it's on time. It might not be 100% converted, but it's the majority has been converted. There is no more Democratic Party. There really is no more progressive, at least by definition. Now it's all communist. It's all RevCom. And I would urge everyone to read. I'm not going to get into the actual article itself, but I would urge everyone to read the defector's statements. And that's, the article is titled Communist Defector Speaks Out on America's Marxist Future. The article was written by Cliff Kincaid. It was dated June 12, 2012, and it did predict exactly where we're at today. So that's that. But please be prepared, because it's going to get very ugly. And this was told to me as well by my source within the Department of Homeland Security. This is what Obama and Jarrett and Jones and people that were giving him instructions wanted back in 2012, 2013, when I was in contact with my DHS source and I made this public, and people just chuckled, smiled, laughed, and said, that's all right. Keep listening to the voices in your head. Well, what do we see today? Yeah, I guess it was just too early. The information was a little bit premature, but now we're seeing everything that I had written about back then come to pass today. And I'm going to put up the picture on HomelandSecurityUS.com. You can see for yourself whether or not you think that there will be a shooting war here in the United States and blood will be shed on the streets of America. That's up to you. And if you don't want to protect yourself, that's up to you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm certainly not going to baby you. But for me, you can damn well bet that I am going to put up a fight. You know, I am the resistance, not Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann, you know, he's a loudmouth jerk. You heard him the day before yesterday, I believe, in the program. Him calling himself the resistance. I could tell you stories about, no, I'm not going to. But we, you and I, the Christian conservatives, we are the resistance to this communist infiltration in our country. Now, changing topics, I want to draw your attention to Mueller, the special or independent counsel. Something changed yesterday. I'm going to tell you right now, there is this train that is barreling down the tracks that is destined to impeach Donald Trump, if not indict members of his family and change the elections of 2016. I'm telling you, that's the objective here. Robert Mueller. And why Mueller has not been stopped, why he hasn't been fired, is beyond me. But Robert Mueller has now teamed up with New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. to investigate, among other things, Paul Manafort and his financial transactions. This appeared in Politico, but this is making the water cooler talk inside the Beltway. And you've got to understand, a United States president is unable to, quote, pardon state crimes. So there, what's the end game here? The end game is to take this out of the federal jurisdiction, put it into the state jurisdiction, where the president does not have the authority, for example, to pardon state crimes. There's this collaboration that is brewing that is going to pressure Paul Manafort, for example, to cooperate in the fictitious Russian investigation under Mueller, and understand that as much as you know and I know and everyone knows that there's no there to this Russian collusion story, it's being used, regardless of what we believe, it's being used as the method and manner to unseat Donald Trump, and therefore to pave the way for the, in the larger sense, to this one world globalist government, but also to destroy the United States. And this is a way to as well to push through this collective. It's the collective. It's the best way, and perhaps the most expedient way, according to the communist revolutionaries, to incite the chaos so desired. But this is significant, and you people, everyone better pay attention to this. Mueller, think about how this came about. He was tapped on the shoulder. He was commissioned for his role by the U.S. Justice Department via the deputy AG. And understand that Mueller, of course, is tight with Comey, and Mueller has assembled a team out of 15 active investigators / independent prosecutors. You've got eight, who are loyal to Hillary Clinton or have expressed a relationship with, financial relationship with, or have worked with Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, or any part thereof. So the deck is stacked. And when you get before these special counsels and even grand juries, you know, you've got so many laws and so many regulations, especially when you get into the financial end of things. It's almost impossible not to break, seriously, it's almost impossible not to break laws. You got laws that you've never even heard of when it comes to financial regulations. Oh, they're the obvious ones. For example, you can't take more than $10,000 cash out of the country unless you tell the country you're doing so. Tell the authorities you're doing so. And you got to fill out a special form. That's obvious. Everyone knows that, right? You can't structure withdrawals or deposits or whatever. You can't structure, in quotation marks, financial transactions for the purpose of trying to fly under the radar. Everyone knows that. So those are the laws that you know about, but there's so many that you don't know about. Remember, Atlas Shrugged. I mentioned that earlier in the broadcast. The quote from Atlas Shrugged: do you really think we want those laws observed? That, of course, from Dr. Ferris, the character in Atlas Shrugged. We want them broken. We want them to be broken. You'd better get it straight that this is not a bunch of Boy Scouts you're up against. We're after power, and we mean it. There's no way to rule innocent men. Let me repeat that again. There's no way to rule innocent men. Think about that, folks. This is what we're seeing. The only power any government has is the power to crack down on criminals. Well, when there aren't enough criminals, one makes them. One declares so many things to be a crime that it becomes impossible for men to live without breaking laws. Who wants a nation of law-abiding citizens? And this is from Atlas Shrugged. What's there in that for anyone? But just pass the kind of laws that can neither be observed nor enforced or objectively interpreted. And you create a nation of lawbreakers. And then you cash in on guilt. Now that's the system, Mr. Reardon. That's the game. And once you understand it, you'll be much easier to deal with. That from Atlas Shrugged. There's no way to rule innocent men. The end game here, to me, is pretty clear. The end game is to delegitimize President Donald Trump in the eyes of America, to remove him from office, whether it's through impeachment or the 25th Amendment or something worse. That, to me, is the end game here. And right now they're doing it from the top down, the bottom up, and the inside out. They're to quote Van Jones, they're doing it by going after people like Paul Manafort. They're going after his members of his family. They're going at it from within. The leaks, 125 and 126 days, previous numbers. The enemy's already inside. But why? Why are they going after? Why the hatred for Donald Trump? You notice that when you watch InfoWars, if you do, Owen Schroyer went out the other day to in Missouri or maybe it was Austin. I don't know. I think it might have been Austin. Owen Schroyer was interviewing these people protesting Trump, and no one could articulate why the hatred. Why the hatred? Because he's a bigot. He's a racist. But no one could articulate. Even a college or university professor. Oh my goodness, it's worth just to watch that. Could not really articulate why the hatred. So all of this is being orchestrated for a reason, and that's to the bigger endgame objective. We have to think bigger. But so this investigation that's being conducted by Mueller is suffering from mission creep. It's going in directions far beyond its mandate. It's also involving state people. I think we have to be very, very concerned about what we're seeing here with the state becoming involved, the state's Attorney General of New York, but how and why they're dragging the state attorney general in. It's to insulate themselves from any type of pardon role. But how are they doing it? And we cite Atlas Shrugged. There's no way to rule innocent men. The only power government has is the power to crack down on criminals. They make you a criminal. And this is exactly what's taking place with Donald Trump. And I think they're trying to, if in law enforcement terms or investigative terms, they're trying to squeeze or flip Manafort. And when you look at, I'm not going to get into the nuts and bolts of it, but I believe they're going for money laundering and organized crime charges here. And this is not something that we should understate either. This is something that we need to expose as well. Now, one more thing I want to make sure I get into this program, into this broadcast before the end, because I always run out of time, is this. The Southern Poverty Law Center right now, they're in my view anyway, they are provoking bloodshed. They're adding, you recall, I opened the program by talking about the Austin-based revolutionary communist group. Well, and again, I apologize for if you've got whiplash of topical whiplash, but I need to get this in here. The Southern Poverty Law Center right now, they published a map identifying not just Confederate monuments, but cities and middle schools with the names of Confederate generals, for example. In fact, more than 1,500 Confederate monuments stand in communities like Charlottesville, with the potential to unleash more turmoil and bloodshed, warns the SPLC. But see, the SPLC is urging visitors to the website and followers of the SPLC to write their papers and make sure these monuments are taken down. And if not, this, or whatever it takes to remove the statues, rename the streets, rename the schools. This is all part of the larger process that I've been referring to throughout today's broadcast. Now, I'm not going to get into the actual, well, all right. The Southern Poverty Law Center, obviously, they're saying one thing but promoting something different. There was an NPR poll that was done that found that 62% of Americans supported just leaving the statues alone. Leave them alone. All right. And then it's the poll is further breaking down. I'm not going to get into the minutia there, only because it just, to me, it skews that the majority of the people responding. But then you've got people like Wasserman Schultz now is jumping the bandwagon under the bandwagon of changing street signs and such. But the issue is this SPLC's hate map. This is the issue itself, because if you know history, you know that the SPLC, their hate map, there was a similar graphic that they published back in 2012. And it was right after the publication of that graphic that Floyd Lee Corkins III broke into the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. with the intent to murder everyone in the building. Now, he pled guilty in 2013 to committing an act of terrorism. He was sentenced to 25 years in prison. But there was an FBI interrogation that's on that people can view. It's, I don't know, 20, maybe 20 seconds. It's short. Where the FBI agent interrogating or interviewing Corkins asked, how did you come about targeting the Family Research Council in D.C.? He said, well, it was because it was listed as an anti-gay group on the SPLC website. He got the address from the SPLC hate map. This, now we're seeing a whole level greater of this kind of activity taking place. All of this combines, every topic that I referenced today is tied together because it's all part of this larger initiative, this larger objective, this intent to create the chaos within the United States, to take down the United States. And obviously, Donald Trump, representing not just himself as he represents this movement, and the movement, the existence, the mere existence of the American exceptionalism is such an affront to the communist collective in this country that fomented under Obama and Clinton and even the globalists of Bush. It has gotten to the point now where there are flashpoints that are being reached. And I'm warning you, I'm using this broadcast, today's broadcast, to warn you. We have reached and are reaching these flashpoints, and the sides have been identified. The enemies of freedom have been identified. The targets of the revolution, communists, have been identified. And you and me, we are among the targets. And I want you to understand that we are the targets. Whether it's our platform, whether it's you yourself, because of your ideological views that you've expressed or are not afraid to express, and don't be afraid to express them. Just understand that with such expression comes risks. But be willing to take those risks. because what is worth believing and promoting, in my view, in this case, is worth dying for. And I certainly will die promoting, defending my rights to say my beliefs in what we call this representative republic of America, this once great country. Can we make America great again? Well, you know what? I don't know the answer to that question, but it would be a shame not to continue trying, wouldn't it? What's the bottom line here? The bottom line is the sounding of the warning bell that there are groups that will that are going to be changing from rocks and bottles and cherry bombs or whatever they're throwing out there, firecrackers, to bullets and bombs. The orchestration of the chaos is deliberate and is timed, is being timed, of course. The target, ultimately, you and I, the American people. The American people who believe in right and wrong. The American people who believe in good versus evil. The American people who believe in American exceptionalism and in a free country. If nothing else, that is worth fighting for. I mean, it's us. It's us versus them, or them versus us, depending on how you want to look at it. But the fact is, we are in the middle of a cold civil war that's about to turn hot, and I just want to sound the alarm bells. Prepare. Prepare. Do not back off. Don't curl up in a fetal position. It's not the time for it. And I would even go further. I would do... Let your pastor of your church know that the hour is late. Time is short. We all have to make a stand. We have to get others involved. If we don't get others involved, then what, we're going to go it alone? No, we can't go it alone. We have to unite with other like-minded individuals and meet this threat head on. But don't understate the threat. Don't dismiss the threat. Don't say, well, because they look like a bunch of ragtag, softy snowflakes with guns, they probably shoot themselves in the foot before they hurt anyone else. Don't dismiss this threat. You can give a chimpanzee a gun. And with disastrous results. Just don't dismiss the threat. If you get nothing else out of this today. The enemies are great. You've got the groups, as I mentioned, Southern Poverty Law Center now, mapping out the targets. And I can tell you right now, what happened in 2012, and that's why I mentioned this, what happened in 2012 with Floyd Lee Corkins III, when he broke into the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., is likely to happen again, this time. More than just one location, more than one person, more than one incident. It's likely to happen again, and much worse. I'm going to thank each and every one of you for listening. I'm going to be doing a special report on the spy infiltration based on last night's program on the Hagmann Report, spy infiltration by the Awan Cabal. Tune in to John and Joe Show at 2 to 3 Eastern on Global Star and the BTR, and also tonight, Steve Quayle tonight with Tom Horn on our show, Hagmann Report. Until next time, God bless.
The Doug Hagmann Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagmann Report.
Tune in to the Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.